opportunity to meet in your house, to meet with your people. Pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, give us understanding in the Scripture. Our Father, let us look at the Word of God as it is the Word of God and not the Word of a man. In thy name I pray, amen. All right, well, God bless every one of you. It's good to be here. I want to take you to the 91st Psalm tonight, if you'll turn there with me. Psalm 91. And verse number 1. The Scripture says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Lord, this is your holy word. Give us wisdom tonight to understand it and to rightly divide it. In thy name I pray, amen. The 91st Psalm is one of the most important psalms in the whole Bible, folks. I know that what's called the trilogy, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalm, it's a wonderful lesson about the crucifixion of Christ, and then about the fact that he reigns and then he's coming as king. It's a wonderful truth. The 23rd Psalm was one of the psalms that I learned the 23rd Psalm at Beaumont Grammar School. Yes, I did. Public school, 23rd Psalm. We used to read the Bible and have prayer and had 10 commandments on the wall, had pictures of the presidents, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, like that in our classroom. And for this woke crowd today, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? Of course, murderer took a high-powered weapon today, and he went up in Minnesota and went to a school up there and shot 2 kids to death, 8 and 10 years old, and there's 2 or 3 more in the hospital, critical condition, and they blame it on gun violence. You never hear them say anything about knife violence, do you? That's what killed those 4 kids out there in Idaho. The violence is in the heart, folks. It's not the weapon. It's the heart. But in any event, the Scripture, it's quite a thing when you consider the fact that more than likely David wrote this psalm, and David is about 1,000 B.C. That's his time. So we're looking at something that was written 3,000 years ago. It's always good to keep in mind the date of what you're reading, how old it is. If you'll notice, as you read the Bible, I just read it in its in simple form, read it through like a narrative. You'll be amazed at how much those people are like us. Yes, they're not different. They're the same kind of people as we are. They have the same problems we have. The 91st Psalm is a wonderful psalm in the sense that it starts off praising the Savior. and all the ways that he saves and that he's there for us. And the reason for that is because somewhere in the past, after 1000 AD, when David wrote this psalm, Satan sat down and read it. There's no question about it. And it always intrigues me to think about how that Satan can read Scripture, but obviously it doesn't do anything to change his heart. He's like a lot of people that do that. A lot of people twist the Scripture to their own destruction. They read the Bible as kind of a textbook or historical book. And of course it has a lot of history in it. When I went to Rural High School, they taught the Bible. Mrs. Hale was my Bible teacher. One fine woman, no question about that. I'll never forget that. And of course I wasn't saved, but I enjoyed her teaching. She was very good at what she did. And she taught the Bible and she believed the Bible. I was taught the Bible in Sunday school on Beaumont Avenue Baptist Church. I went to Sunday school there and I was taught the Bible. I used to go to revival meetings at Ballard's Chapel. You notice I'm naming a lot of names tonight. Ballard's Chapel out there in Blount County. And I'd hear the preachers get up and preach. I used to go downtown Knoxville, down to Market Square, back when it was far different from what it is now. But especially on a Saturday, hardly a Saturday ever passed that you wouldn't find somebody standing on the corner preaching. You can hear them preaching. And I remember that as a boy. I remember hearing those preachers preaching. I never really bothered to stop and listen too much to what they had to say, but they were out there preaching the Word of God. And definitely, down through the years, I was exposed to the Scripture. When I went to boot camp at Parris Island, every Sunday they loaded us up and took us to a church or chapel. The Marine Corps definitely did not try to dissuade you. They wanted you to go to church. And on my dog tags, which I still have, you're either a Baptist or a Catholic or a Jew or a Mohammedan or whatever, and mine says Baptist. Even though when I was 17 years old, I said, well, what are you? Well, I guess I'm a Baptist. I didn't believe anything. Didn't know the Lord. But I was around it, you see. Around it. All those years. And then in 1973, well, when I met my wife, I took her back to Camp Lejeune. And the first time she'd ever been out of Knox County, I think. No, just kidding. But I took her back to Camp Lejeune and she saw a lot of things she'd never seen before. For one thing, a big military base. And she was introduced to a whole new world that she didn't know anything about, just like I was introduced to it at Parris Island. And I took her back there, and I got out of the military. I started going to Third Creek Baptist Church with her. She was a member of Third Creek, been saved there, been baptized. I think before him that baptized her. She got saved. And then she wanted me to go to church with her, so I went to church when I got out of the military. And I would walk out into the parking lot, and I would say, now this is a bunch of junk, you know that, don't you? That's what I told her. Just garbage. I didn't believe any of that. Didn't believe a bit of it. I'm trying to tell you who I am and where I came from. I wasn't a good boy. No, 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 no. Mama didn't call me to preach and Daddy sent me. No, sir. No, sirree. But in any event, one day, heaven opened and came down on my soul. And I experienced conviction. And I know what conviction is. Yes, sir. Just a few days later, I got saved. God saved me. And when he did, the Bible opened up. The Bible became a fresh book to me. It's almost as if I'd never heard it and seen it. I began to read it, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I would read every day. I read the Bible. I mean, I would read it, and it would speak to me in ways it had never spoken to me before. I was receiving the Word of God. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was in me. I was no longer a skeptic. I believed what I was reading. Always have. I still do to this day. When I pick up the Bible, I believe the Bible. I'm a Bible believer first, folks, and I believe it. And I'll find places I don't understand, but that's okay. I give God the credit. He knows more than me. Amen. How many see that? Yes, the Lord has a way of letting us know when he wants us to know what his book says. But I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't get enough. So I read and I read and I prayed and I read and I read and I read and I read and I read. Now, I had no desire to read the Bible before I was saved. I didn't believe it. I believed in a man upstairs, supreme being, and all that garbage. But I didn't believe the Bible, never read it. Had no desire for it. It was foreign to me. It was as if it was just a dead book of nothing. It was nothing. How did it become alive all of a sudden? How did the Bible become alive and still alive to me today? How did that happen? I didn't cause it to happen. But something happened inside me. This is why the scripture can be read by a lot of different people under a lot of different circumstances, and some folks get nothing out of it. They get nothing from it. And this is what must be the case with Satan, because believe me, he can read and he can quote scripture, and he's a master at it, to tell you the truth, but it doesn't change him. And I'm not going to try to get into the depths of what all that means, but I'll say this to you tonight. When Satan quoted scripture on our Lord Jesus Christ, he had a reason for it. He had a reason. He was trying to destroy the Son of God with the very thing that the Son of God believed. You see, he knew that Christ believed the Bible. He knew it. No question in his mind. Whether he believed it or not, it's irrelevant. He knew he did. And so he was going to use that against him and set up a scenario there where this would happen. And it's quite remarkable, too, when you see some of the things that are in it. Look at verse number 8 of Psalm 91. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, I don't know what Satan thinks of himself, but he certainly is wicked. He's evil. He's evil. That's what was turned loose in Minneapolis, Minnesota this morning on those innocent little children in school. Evil. Pure, raw evil. Those kids had done nothing to no one. And so he shot them to death. There are evil men in the world. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Lord, deliver us from evil. And a lot of folks don't really understand that there's varying degrees of sin, no question about it. Some folks like to be so simplistic when they get into this issue. But God holds you accountable for what you know and what you ought to know. And when you don't know it, and should know it, it's at your fault. It's your fault. Your fault. And so when we look at Psalm 91, all the things here that are mentioned from verses 1 all the way down to verse number 11, the Lord Jesus had kept. He had done. The Lord was his buckler, his shield. He did trust in him. He was his refuge and fortress. And he did not walk in darkness. He fellowshipped with the Father. There was a fellowship with the Son. And the Son and the Father fellowshipped together. I think it's quite remarkable when Satan, when he got to verse number 8, wonder what he thought when he read that. The reward of the wicked. I've gotten to the case now where I talk about when these people like this one who killed himself today, murdered those two kids and then committed suicide, I have a tendency to say, well, he went on to his reward. Yeah. Yeah. Those little babies went up. Where do you think he went? He went down. He went into hell. Some of the biggest names, the preachers in the country, their kids. Their kids have committed some of the most horrendous crimes. One son shot his two boys to death just so he could take out vengeance on his ex-wife. He took their lives. He's a double murderer. Where do you think he went? Think about that for a moment. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Murder is a big deal in the sight of God. Your brother, where's your brother? I hear his blood crying from the ground. Yeah, yeah. But you see, you have a whole generation today in this country that have been alienated from Scripture. And the reason they have, of course, is because of the fact that someone wants to control the whole generation. They're controlling them, dumbing us down, controlling us. And a reason for that is for a one-world government. And that's it's ready, just about ready. But there's no morality. There's no value in human life anymore. They just as soon kill you as look at you. They don't see that as anything. That means nothing. Get on YouTube and look at some of these teenagers that are brought in before a judge and into a court to be arraigned for murder. And look at them laughing. And look at them as they look over at the victims' families and laugh and mock them in a court of law. And they're about to be arraigned for murder. They have no conviction. They're no sorrow. They just kill wantonly. They kill. So who do you think's running the show? I tuned in a station the other day that I hadn't tuned it in for a while, and I thought, well, let's see if there's changed any here. Tuned it in. Now sow your seed. So I moved on. Same old garbage. I don't want to be in their shoes when they come up before the judgment bar of God. Because there are a lot of people out there today, they think the only thing the Bible talks about is money. That's one of the fewest things it talks about. It's money. The Lord knows you have need of money. He knows you have need. He'll supply those needs. He'll take care of that. He'll take care of it. He'll feed you. He does. He will. He'll take care of that. He knows you have to have something pay your bills and so forth. That's not an issue. But once you get around, I want to warn you tonight. I just want to put it out there the way it is. If all your preacher talks about is money, get rid of him or leave that church. That's right. Find one who knows the Lord and is going to preach the gospel. Amen. That's sad. But the Bible says here, and see the reward of the wicked. I don't know exactly how far that something like that should go, but I do know this. I do know that Satan will tempt you, and he will tempt you in the very thing that you profess to trust so much in and have so much faith in. He'll come to you at that and try to destroy that. You see, if he can destroy your foundation, he doesn't worry about the rest of it. If he destroys your foundation, your trust in God tonight, then forget the rest of it. It's irrelevant. Because your whole system will come crashing down. Can we trust the Lord? You better believe it. I'm going through the most trying time I have in probably my whole life. And it's like a war of attrition. It's like the Amalekite. Do you remember him? He'd snipe at them. He'd get the weak. He'd get the stragglers. He'd come at them from the sides. He wouldn't stand and fight. He'd come from the side. He was attrition. That's what a war of attrition's about. You just come and find them at their weakest moment, drag them off, destroy them. That's the way he does Christians. In your weakest moment, he'll come after you. Satan is an opportunist. He'll find you when you are at your weakest moment, and that's when he'll come after you. He will. He'll come after you. And so I ask your prayers tonight. I'm not complaining. I'm just asking you to pray for me. Because when your position of responsibility and authority that I've got, a lot of people think that you you motivate and push sheep. You don't do that. You lead them. You cannot push sheep. You cannot take a club and drive them and make them do what you want them to do. They will not do that. They will rebel against that. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. You have to lead them. And so the shepherd leads. And so therefore the Lord has brought down into my life that something that I have to show in, to manifest before you, the grace of God to lead. Why should I get up and preach to you, all these great principles and truths of Scripture, and sit back and observe how that's going to work in your life? Well, it's in my life. That's right. I am not elevated above anybody. I have to go through the same thing that everyone else does. I have to watch the one that I love. I have to watch them suffer. I have to have the problems come into my life that just affect my faith, my trust in God. Sometimes it has to get dark. It has to get dark. And it has to get dark so that you will see the light, and you know what the light is when the light shows up. Because Satan presents himself as an angel of light. But he'll never lead you to God. He'll always lead you away. The 91st Psalm will be, no doubt, at the Great White Throne Judgment, one of the things that God judges Satan by. Because Satan had the scripture. He had it. He had it right here and he quoted it. But he did not believe it. And what he was trying to do was to show the fallacy of faith in God. That's what it was about. Cast yourself down, because he'll bear thee up. And the Lord Jesus knew that that was tempting God. Here's what he said in Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Deuteronomy 6:16. Thou shalt not tempt. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him at Massah. You don't tempt him. So we walk in faith and we walk in trust in the Lord, but we be careful about the things that we say and bragging that we might do. We have to be very careful. We must be willing to yield ourselves under the mighty hand of God and humble ourselves and be obedient. And it's obedient and humbling when you may be required to do things you don't like and you don't want to do, but you know it's in the will of God, and you have to accept that. That does a lot for your character, though. Tribulation worketh experience, or experience. It worketh faith. It increases your faith. Tribulation. Patience is one of the greatest virtues. God knows I don't have a lot of patience, so he's sent me to places where I had to have patience. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate it. And he knows. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. Never have been one for a lot of patience. But the truth of the matter is, however little, however small, however fragile your faith appears to be, as long as you have it, you've got faith. And he says it, even if it's as much as the grain of mustard seed. Now, I remember one time our guide, we were over at Jacob's Well. It seemed like we were in that area. And our guide says, all right, now folks, now stand still for a moment. Look at this tree. And here was this tree. And he went up and pulled something off of it. And he opened up a pod. And there are these little seeds. He said, now that's a mustard seed. And boy, I took that in when I saw that. Because the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, just a little thing here. So I do not consider myself some great man of faith, not at all. But I do believe. Amen. And I found a fellow in the Bible. I find them all through the scripture. And I found that fellow in the Bible where he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's me. I stand right with him. I do believe. No question. I don't have to make anybody believe or make myself believe that I believe. I believe. But Lord, help my unbelief. And he does. Because I watched him do things now that kind of remarkable. And it'd be nice if he told you what he was going to do, but sometimes he just does it anyway. And that's all right, because I know him. I know whom I have believed. You know, it's a sad thing. Satan had so much. He said, you're the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. There's five cherubim in the Bible. Five. We have four left, and they show up in Revelation. They show up in Ezekiel 1 and 10. They show up throughout the Old Testament in the Holy of Holies, a cherubim. But the fifth cherub, the anointed cherub, that's Lucifer, that's Satan. He said, thou hast been in the holy mountain of God, and I have set thee so. He had great power and great authority. He was above, apparently above archangels, above all the rest of them. He said, you're a cherub that covereth. Now that word covereth can mean two things. It can mean that he was there above all in the sense that he covered everything that was present, but also in the sense that he was there as a protective one. He had been given trust. God had trusted him. He had entrusted him. That's a better word for it. He had entrusted him with authority. He was beautiful. He was powerful. And he had all of that. What lesson do you learn when you turn around and think, but he failed from all of that? Did he not? That can't hold you up. But that's what a human seeks after. We seek after power. We seek after authority. We seek after all these things. And we say, well, now if we get this, we can serve God better. Truth of the matter is, the Lord knows how you're going to serve him better. And most people cannot handle power and authority. Satan sure couldn't, because it caused his downfall. I will, I will, I will, I will, he said. Well, the Lord said at the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And I have to take that to heart. Here's what one writer said. Preservation in danger is divinely pledged. Shall I then create danger? Either to put the promised security skeptically to the proof, or wantonly to demand a display of it? In plain words, God is not a jack-in-the-box for you to call forth like you're going to present some supernatural power to people and make a show of it. God doesn't do that. He's not going to do it. He's not going to be any part of it. And so the Lord Jesus said to the devil, oh yeah, I could cast myself down from here. Oh yeah, I could. And I trust and rely upon him. But that's not what he wants. And he said, if I do, I'll be tempting God. Now that shows us how to interpret Scripture, doesn't it? Be careful. Be awful careful. When someone claims a verse of Scripture and says, God gave me this, and this is what the Lord wants me to live by, that's fine. Who am I to come along and question that? But the truth of the matter is, that's between them and God. He may not have given me that Scripture. He's given me a few. And the few that he's given me, I hold on tightly. I hold on tightly to them, because I know whom I have believed. I know him. Sometimes we'd like to see God move quicker, but the Scripture says he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, right? Well, if he's long-suffering to me, then he'll be long-suffering to others, won't he? You remember what Jonah told the Lord? Jonah, you remember what God told Jonah to do? He told him, he said, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach. Well, Jonah went in a different direction. And you know what he told the Lord? He said, I knew you'd do this. I told you you'd do this. That's what he said. To paraphrase him, he said, I know you. They're our enemy. But God said, they don't know their right hand from their left hand. You see, there's a higher calling, a higher judgment, and a higher authority than flags and sovereign nations. And I'm all for my country. I love my country. All of that. I put 4 years in there. But folks, there is a kingdom higher than this one. There is a city that's not on this earth. And I am a citizen of that city. Amen. And that's above all the earth. In plain words, there are people over there that fly different flags, but they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And I love them. They're my brothers in Christ. They're my sisters in Christ. And that's the way you have to understand that. If you can understand that in the context of what I'm trying to say, it's a wonderful thing to do. Wonderful thing. Well, I'm not going to force God to do something, to prove something to someone. We'll leave that to the Lord. But it's still, this is one of those things. If you have an answer for this, then after the service is over with tonight, maybe you could share it with me. Why Satan can quote Scripture and read the Bible, he probably knows it from Genesis to Revelation, probably memorized every word of it. And no doubt he was sitting there when they wrote it, and yet he doesn't believe it. Or maybe there's something higher than that going on here. Maybe. Like I said before one time, when God said in Isaiah chapter number 45, I create evil. God said that. I had that online. One guy wrote in and said, Well, you mean God's the one responsible for sin, and you mean God causes us to sin? No, that's not what he said. He's speaking in high and lofty terms. Nothing can come into existence without the permissive will of God. And when it does, it will in one fashion or another glorify his holy name. And we will see in that great judgment day the hand of God working in ways that we could never see it here. I trust him. I trust him with that. Because I cannot explain, make sense of so much that happens in this life. But I know whom I have believed. That'll get me through. That's the only way I can live with it. Is I trust his character, and I'll trust it expressly. Satan, I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know. Because God used you to prove a point in that wilderness that the Lord was in for 40 days. You don't think God uses Satan? Why, good night, people. Are you kidding? Do you think there's anything out here that operates under its own power and its own authority and its own existence and exists because it exists? Nothing exists because it exists except the Almighty. He's the only one that exists because of his nature and who he is. Everything else must acknowledge, serve, know that he's God, and beside him there is none other. And I know that tonight. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Pray that God would add his blessing to Temple Baptist Church and this ministry. Please pray for me. Father, thank you for your word, your time in your house. I know these people in this house tonight, they love you. They're your people, my Heavenly Father. And I pray for them and I ask you to bless them. Father, I pray you'd move in their hearts and in their souls and draw them near you. And then walk with them. Walk with me, Lord. May I have fellowship with you. You hear me, and I know me. I know you. When I cry out to thee, it's so many times there's no one around, no one anywhere around. And I cry out to your holy name. And I look to you, Lord, like I'm looking to you tonight. Father, I don't understand. It's dark, but I still trust you. And I'm going to trust you through this because you will do right. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? In thy name I pray. Anybody have a prayer request tonight?